Let's turn in God's Word to the book of Mark. The book of Mark and chapter 1. And we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 45. Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 45. And beginning in verse 1, these are the words of our God. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately, coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Now they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For what with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." and he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places. And they came to him from every direction. And those are God's words. And Mark's gospel is that gospel which seems to be communicating the gospel. Of course, it communicates the gospel, but it's communicating the gospel immediately as possible, as quickly as possible. And you see that language to the effect throughout the whole book, the whole gospel, that word immediately, several times. You see it in this chapter, several times. And this gospel does not begin with the birth of Christ like Matthew and Luke, but with the prophecy of John the Baptist and then his ministry through verse 8. And then we see that Christ is baptized and the Holy Spirit coming upon him to help sustain him during his earthly ministry concerning his human nature. And even we see that as soon as the Holy Spirit comes down upon him, the Holy Spirit drives him to the wilderness. So it'd be what? To be tempted. The beginning of his earthly ministry on earth. Being tempted in the wilderness by Satan and Jesus not sinning one time. And then throughout the rest of the passage we see Jesus preaching, calling his disciples to himself, praying, working miracles, rebuking the unclean spirit in verses 23 through 28. He's curing Peter's mother-in-law in verses 29 through 31. His healing all that came to him in verse 32 and verse 34. And then finally, his cleansing of the leper. All these things, as we learned in Matthew, through many chapters there, showed forth what? That these are the signs of the coming Messiah. Here is the Messiah, the one who is anointed and called to come and deliver his people from their sins. This is Jesus. He's showing that forth just in this first chapter. Immediately, Mark gets to it. So this has to be the Messiah. He's doing all these things that were prophesied of him. And so each of you here are called as well to come unto him who heals. Him who heals your diseases. Him who heals all your diseases, not only spiritual, but physical. Turn from your sin and rest your life in Christ Jesus. And he will save you from your sins. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for how the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are very similar and yet very different. Of course, they teach us and they proclaim the Gospel of Jesus Christ, that He came and He lived a perfect, righteous life without sin, died on the cross for our sins, and was buried and rose from the dead on the third day according to the Scriptures, and was given all authority as King over all. And yet very different. Here we're thankful for Mark's immediacy, his getting to the point. And we are thankful for this, getting us to see just in the first chapter, which is very much different than what we heard in Matthew. We heard in Matthew many chapters showing forth this is the Messiah and the coming of the Messiah in more details, but here very quickly telling us and showing us that this is the Anointed One, this is the Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. And so we are praising you for him. We're thankful for your Son, and we are thankful that he is the one who cleanses of all diseases and maladies, and not only physical but spiritual too. He is the one who washes us clean, as white as snow from our sins, and the stain of our sin, the guilt of our sin, as we sang, and we're thankful for this in him. Father, as well, we are thankful for the church. And we ask for your help, not only that you would grow your church and build your church upon the gospel of Jesus Christ, your Son, but that you would continue growing us and building us up and sanctifying us, cleansing us of our sin, that we would be those who, by your Holy Spirit, put to death our sin that remains within us, that we would hate sin and love righteousness. Even when we struggle with sin, we would continue hating sin and loving righteousness. And that we would give all praise and exaltation to your Son, Jesus Christ, and you, of course, and the Father. Father, we give you praise today that we have looking forward to this coming week, our presbytery meeting. We pray that we would all be in prayer about this and the meeting of the elders as we gather together, that you would watch over the church, watch over the churches in the many states that we represent, and that you would give wisdom and decisions that we would make would be all in accordance with your word alone, for your glory alone, and not according to man, and not according to man's method and means. We have learned, really, in Ecclesiastes, that such is vanity. But we pray that we would trust in you and your plan. And we pray for the churches that have sought after pastors and called them in Columbia and Denison. We pray that the men who are examined, that you would give them a recall of what they've studied, but also discernment to the elders of whether these men are called or not, truly called. And so, Father, give us wisdom that no one man would be passed and ordained who is not one you have called, and that we would not be doing and imposing someone upon the ministry, Father, but give us discerning hearts for this work that we have to do, and even though it's just like a few examinations, it is difficult at times to discern when we have never met these men. And so, Father, we pray that you would give us help in that. Father, we pray also for the other churches who are seeking ministers or church planters. We think in our presbytery alone, in San Antonio and Houston and Oklahoma City, and the Denver church, Westminster. And we pray that you would grant to them the right man to be their pastors or church planners, and that you would grant them to come about quickly, that the ministry of the Word would not be taken from those places, but that you would bring about a consistent ministry of your Word in those places. Father, we also ask for your blessing upon the many churches and the struggles that we've gone through this year. We pray that you would uphold us all. And I've known, as I've seen many reports from the other churches, that some have struggled greatly. We pray that you would bring them to yourself, and you would uplift them and sustain them in their trials, just as you have always upheld us in our trials, and you've seen us through, and you've brought about the good for our congregation each time. And we give you all praise for this, and we pray that you would bring about the same for them. For just as we are completely undeserving of everything good that you've brought, so are they. And yet you, in your mercy, brought it. And so shower your grace upon the churches of Jesus Christ, that your gospel would go forth, and that many people would hear and believe on Jesus Christ for their salvation from their sins, and turn from their sins unto you, the living and true God, in Christ your Son. Father, give each one here faith in your Son, and that this, if they have not been saved, that this would be the day of salvation, and they would see your mercy, and they would see your grace in Christ alone, and they would hate their sin and love you and righteousness that's found in Christ alone. Father, we pray in all these things that your will would be done. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.